Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm Brett Twitty, Director of Admissions for the Executive Formats of the Darden MBA, and this is a little bit of a catch-up episode for us again. As you know, in episode 4, we shared the first half of an interview we recorded with Barbara Millar, and today on this episode, we'd like to share the second half of that conversation. Of course, Barbara, for those of you who are still learning about our Executive MBA program or still getting familiar with all the podcast episodes we've put out, Barbara is the Assistant Dean for our Executive MBA program and has worked with Executive Format students at Darden for over 10 years now. So has been with the program since its inception 11 years ago. So she brings a wealth of experience, and we recently sat down with her to talk about leadership and leadership development, and specifically the two leadership residencies, which are in our Executive MBA program. So without further ado, this is the second half of my conversation with Barbara Millar. How do you think about, you know, assessing how a student's progressed as a leader, or, you know, as someone who can really take on a leadership role in a company? I mean, obviously our students are already leaders. So how do you think about capturing the progress that they've made in the program?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. And sometimes it shows up in a kind of self-reflection that someone is doing, and where they're talking about in papers or in courses that are asking them that very question: how are you assessing your own development? And they're talking about that. Other times, though, it's much more tangible. When the boss says, okay, Brett, you're ready for this new assignment, and it doesn't necessarily look like may not look like a promotion. It may look like a bigger team. You may be getting your feedback, and your peer feedback or your direct report feedback is saying to you, you're a kinder, gentler version of what you were 6 months ago. You're testing assumptions out with your peers. And at Darden, and they have a slightly different way of behaving around things like how do you do a performance review or how do you have a difficult conversation. And you're having to do some of that as a student. You know, you have a learning team hiccup, and you've got to have a difficult conversation with someone who's a classmate and who's in your learning team. That's developing those skills that you can then take back. So it's a combination, I think, of the way that people think about their own courage or their own changes that they're seeing in the way that they lead. You know, I don't need to be the authority. I need to listen more. And so I'm listening more. I'm getting feedback that's telling me they're seeing changes. My boss may be saying, you know, the organization may be saying, we see a change. We want you to do something more. I think that setting goals around these kinds of things, these more intangible and soliciting the people that you work with, also your family, right? Your partner may be saying to you, well, I don't know what they're doing down there at Darden, but you know, you seem to be listening to me more, or you seem to be more in the moment, or the things that are these intangibles that you can feel in yourself that are changing. But then you're also getting signals and feedback from people around you, be it at work, be it at home, be it in your community, in the classroom, from your faculty. Those kinds of feedbacks are very, very important. And we try to help people set some goals. That's why we do an LR1 leadership assessments and personality assessments that tell you where your blind spots are. They tell you the areas that you need to work on. You put that together with your performance feedback from work, what you hear from your partners and your friends in your life, and you have a lot of opportunity to do things differently.
That's you know, when you think about the opportunity that just being in school affords someone, right? You know, you're in this learning environment. You've got this educational safety net around you. Some of the things that are very hard to do at work or to achieve developmentally at work all of a sudden become much more manageable or feasible because you now have a structure for exploring and experimenting and trying out some of the areas you may be less familiar with, and practicing making decisions in a way that you just don't get to do in the course of your everyday job.
Yeah. Something that you said made me think about this, and this is actually a compliment to the work that you do in admissions, and that is, so students talk a lot about the trust that gets developed in the classroom because it's intense, and they rely on each other, and they support each other, and they, because they have that trust with one another, they're willing to take those risks. They're willing to go out on a limb, and there's nobody at the other end that's going to saw it off, right? They're going to embrace, because you're going to give public voice to, you know, here's why I'm here. I'd like to try to do some things differently. And so once you say that, the kinds of people that come to the program at Darden are willing to embrace that and work together to help you develop. So that is just something that is, again, it's just an honor and a privilege and a pleasure to be around watching that happen.
That is kind of the social contract, right? Of the program, that everybody is here because they want to get better at something. And everybody has a role to play in each other's development.
Exactly.
So LR1 and this LR2, mm-hmm. bracket the program. Mm-hmm. And so it's the first thing you'll do as a student. It's the last thing. As the program was coming together in its current form, what was the thinking behind, you know, obviously having these as the first and last thing that you do in the program?
So, of course, the beginning is the beginning. So we want to set people up for success, and we want to help them really get their feet grounded in how the program is going to work. At the end, LR2, which is another 3-credit leadership development called Creating the Future, it's about ending. It's about coming together in a moment of time and together as both at the section, but even as the larger class, spending time together, envisioning what's coming next, right? So what does it mean now that I'm ending this part of my life journey and I'm stepping into the future? And so that conversation is all about, you know, what does that look like? And that's an academic exercise in what's coming. So we have all kinds of, you know, academic and case discussions around the future of the world, the future of business, the future of work. What does it mean to be a leader? What kind of leaders are we going to need in the future? Because that's who's in the classroom. They're getting ready. They're not like getting ready to step out and do it because they're already in it. But it's a moment to pause and say, okay, what's next for me? And we spend some time talking about Darden's future and how we look to them to help us build Darden's future. That's also a piece of it, not a big piece of it, but they are our partners now as they get ready to graduate. And then there's the coming together of all that friendship and support and struggle and courage that they have walked through these 21 months with each other. And so it's about celebrating them and their achievement and thanking them, and they're thanking each other and thanking us, and it is a very high moment in the program, because they got their eye on, you know, that graduation day, walking on the lawn, celebrating with their family and friends. It's the last time that they're together in this unique group of students and scholars and workers and all of this, as they then get ready to leave us. And so at the beginning, it's about setting you up for success. At the end, it's about applauding the success and moving into that next phase of your life.
The thing that surprised me when I first came to Darden and started talking with some of the then 2016 class about their experiences, the sentimentality about it, the program being over.
Oh, yeah.
The last time I'll, you know, get to be in a case discussion or be with this group of people. And, you know, I didn't expect that, to be honest with you. I thought people would be like, oh, I'm so glad to have my life back. I've been so busy. But it is true that this is, for so many of our students, their last major educational experience, right? They'll be lifetime learners and professional development and all of that. But they won't do something like this again, probably. And they won't. And again, it sounds a little overly romantic, but they also won't be in this place with the same grouping of people again, right? You can come back to reunions, but there's nothing quite the same as a weekend residency or a leadership residency or being able to travel the world. Mm-hmm. And that stood out to me, you know, because obviously people are slammed while they're doing this program, but they do take a moment there at the end to say, like, what a tremendous thing to have this experience with this group at this time.
One of the privileges of working at a school that has the reputation we have is to get, we really get smart people, right? You admit very smart, accomplished people who have a goal of, like you said, getting better at whatever it is that they want to get better at, more effective, you know, whatever. That's the people that are in that room. And students say all the time, I'll never be in a room with people this smart, this many people this smart that will challenge me, that will challenge my assumptions, my perceptions, my beliefs, in a place that's safe, where I'm joined by faculty and staff around me that are leading me, and it's just not going to happen again. And like you, it is really, it's kind of surprising. They're not saying, oh, I want to do more exams. I want to write more papers. I want to do more exams. I want to have more. But so they are happy to get those, you know, that weeknights back from their synchronous classes and this other thing. But they really do, because they cherish each other. They're sad to see that ending. And what I'm always never surprised by, but always in awe of, is how many of the relationships stay for many, many years afterwards. I've been at Darden long enough to see lots of students reunion, and they come back, and in the executive format, they come back, and they're still connected to one another. And with the executives, it's also a very strong professional network. They're networking with each other and their networks to move around in their career. Again, something that is really impressive about this format that allows them to help each other make those career moves. But you're right, it is kind of fun and interesting that they are sad to see it end.
Well, people always talk about all the time that they find that they have now, because of course they become really expert time managers, right? So like, what was I doing before the program that kept me so busy? And you've been listening to my conversation with Barbara Millar, Assistant Dean for our Executive MBA program. Hopefully you've been enjoying these podcast episodes. We welcome your thoughts and ideas. If there's anything that you'd like to learn more about or any topics you would like for us to address, let us know. We can always be reached at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA at darden.virginia.edu. Want to hear your ideas. Hopefully some of these topics and conversations are resonating with you, but if there's anything that we can cover that would be helpful to you as you think about Darden or you learn more about what we do and who we are, let us know. And of course, you know, with our many deadlines over the coming months, November 27th being our next one, followed by January 10, we're always here to help if you have application questions or any admissions insights we can provide. Also, feel free to email us. So until next time, thank you for listening.